You probably guys don't know, but Saturday marks the Chinese New Year. Okay, it's a new year for in the Chinese calendar. Supposedly, it's called the Year of the Rat. Okay, that's what this new year is to be. And many of us think the Year of the Rat is bad because rats are bad. But actually, Chinese customs believe that rats are good because it shows you have prosperity. Because if you didn't have anything, the rats didn't want to eat, then they wouldn't come to your house, right? It's only the rich people that have lots of food and things that the rats can eat, right? Don't tell me that's what I've read, okay? That's strange in my sight too, but it's a year of the rat, and supposedly those born in this year are optimistic, energetic, and likable, according to the customs of the Chinese New Year. Something you may not know, though, and I did not know this either, that it's customary in the Chinese culture to use certain words or phrases during the New Year celebration. And one of those words is the word full, meaning having the abundance of. Okay, and the word is zhongmunda. 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 Anyway, somewhere like zhongmunda. So I had it on my translation calendar, and I thought about putting it on the mic, but anyways, that's what Siri says. It's zhongmunda. And it's used to wish someone material prosperity and happiness and blessings. And that kind of makes sense. And when you're in the new year, like just like we celebrated here a few weeks ago, our new year, we want people to be full and happy and blessed. So when you wish someone zhongmunda, however you pronounce it, you're hoping them that they have a good year, they have a good life. Well, today, it fits right in. I didn't plan this with the Chinese New Year, but we're going to talk today about how we're going to have life to the full in our passage of Scripture this morning. Because we've been talking about the I Ams that Jesus says in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke. And we already looked at the I Am statement that I am the bread of life and that I am the light of the world. Well, today we're going to look at the phrase, I am the gate. I am the gate. You see, the context of this passage here in chapter 10 of John is just the same context that we had last week. It comes right on the heels of this blind man who was healed by Jesus. This man was born blind. The disciples wondered who sinned. And then Jesus says, no, it was just for God's glory that this is going to take place. And so he heals this blind man born from birth. And he goes around, and it happened on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees get involved with this. They interview the man, and the man says, oh, he's a prophet. And then he brings in his parents, and we talked about this all last week. And then this man, because of his faith in Jesus, confesses, hey, this man must be from God, because whoever's heard of someone being healed? And because of this, the Pharisees throw him out. And then he meets Jesus in the last part of that chapter 9. And Jesus says, hey, I'm the one that healed you. And he confesses his faith, says, I believe. And Jesus says, well, you see, but what about these Pharisees? They're blind. And so he compares these Pharisees to being blind men. And so this comes right on the heels of that. There seems to be no break in the story. It just continues on Jesus' teaching there. And even though Jesus changes the metaphor a bit, it seems to be in the same occasion. He's still talking to these blind Pharisees about who he is and trying to tell them and inform them about who he is. And so he changes, like I said, the metaphor here in chapter 10 that, hey, maybe this just change of metaphor might help them understand who I am. They understand that I am the light. Maybe they'll understand in this way. So you can read on the screen here the first 10 verses of chapter 10 in John here. Okay? This is what John writes, what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, this passage here gives us three ways that Jesus is the gate. That Jesus is the gate. And so, first of all, we see in this passage that, first of all, this is for our protection. Jesus is the gate for our protection. You see, Jesus starts out talking about the sheep pen, an image that almost everyone in his day knew, understood very well because they were familiar with it. Today, most of us don't understand what sheep pens are in the biblical sense there, because our picture of sheep pens and pens that keep in sheep and goats and cattle and things are much different. We think about wooden fences and metal fences or metal posts. But wasn't that in those days? Sheep pens in Jesus' days were made out of piles of rocks on top of each other, probably about 3 feet tall. They just piled them in a circle or in a square. And the size of the, and shape of it depends on the size and shape of the flock. You know, if they had a big flock, then they were bigger. If they were smaller, they made it smaller. And if there are many flocks, many different kinds of sheep in there, they could be quite large. And usually on top of those rocks, the shepherds would put some thorny bushes and some thorny plants to prevent people from trying to get in, from animals and the bad things that come in. These pens often were put at the base of a cliff or an embankment, so that way maybe one side was kind of really protected and then the others were protected by the stone wall. But the purpose of these pens were to keep the sheep safe. They're for protection, to protect the sheep from animals, or as Jesus mentions here, thieves and robbers who want to come in and steal the sheep. No one could come in without alerting the shepherd. And it also, like I said, kept the sheep contained so that they would not wander away. Only thieves or crook would try to find another way in, because there was only one way to get into that sheep pen, and that was just a narrow opening in that rock wall that the shepherd would be in. The shepherd or the watchman would sit there or sleep there in that opening, and the only way you could get in was through the shepherd. And again, this is right after the Pharisees had condemned this blind man, or this man who had been blind, from getting into the fold of their fold, of the Pharisees' fold. So Jesus is calling these Pharisees thieves and robbers right to their faces. He's saying, you know, you guys don't get it. You guys are not being good shepherds. You're not being good gates. Because he uses his shepherd imagery. And the shepherd imagery that Jesus uses here is something, again, was very familiar to the Pharisees, because they knew the Old Testament passages that talk many times about shepherds and guiding their flocks and guiding their sheep. There were many good leaders in the Old Testament that were good shepherds. But there are time and time again that God condemns those leaders who would corrupt the sheep or cause the sheep harm for their own benefit. They took advantage of the sheep. They did not lead very well. They may even abuse the sheep by taxing them or by leading them down wrong paths or to other gods. They abused the sheep under their control to benefit themselves. And so Jesus was calling these Pharisees not just bad shepherds, but really people who are trying to get into to take over the sheep as robbers and thieves. But again, they just didn't have the mind for it. It says in verse 6 that they didn't really understand what he was saying, because they didn't understand. they didn't think that they were bad shepherds. They thought they were being good shepherds, even though they're kicking out these these people who claimed who Jesus was, who believed in Jesus. You see, Jesus says they didn't understand that they were the ones that God needed to call to protect their sheep, that God called them to help. So Jesus says, hey, I am the gate. I'm their protection. I'm the one that's going to look after our sheep properly. I'm not going to turn my back on those sheep who are struggling, who are blind, who are the down and outs like you have. I'm not going to allow one more person to to suffer under the oppression of sightlessness one more day, even though it was a Sabbath. I am the gate. And so he's saying, if you want to cause my sheep harm, you got to come through me. If you want to steal my sheep, you got to come through my gate, through me. It's kind of like Jesus was, you see in these movies and these TV shows, bouncers outside these trendy clubs. You know, they're these big, tall, burly guys. I haven't seen them outside of clubs, so I don't go clubbing. But you see them on TV and whatnot, this imagery of these bouncers outside the clubs that have these velvety ropes, you know, and they're the ones, oh, you guys can go in. Oh, nope, you guys can't go in. You can't, you know, you're too old, or you're too young, or you're too ugly, or whatnot. You can't come in. And if you want to come in, you got to come through me, you know. And no one's going to want to take on this big bouncer type of thing. Or another imagery that came to my mind is Gandalf on the bridge of Khazad Dûm. And he stands there and says, you shall not pass to this bad, evil guy. You leave the people behind me alone. You're not going to pass by me. You have to get through me before you get to them. This protection. He stands in the way of the bad guys from harming his sheep. In fact, he places his life on the line to protect his sheep. God's willing to lay down his life. Jesus is willing to lay down his life for his flock, it says later on. He's willing to save and protect them. And I just love this imagery of Jesus, this guy who's kind of this big guy who's going to conquer all my enemies for me. He's not going to let the enemies get past him to harm me. He's the barrier between me and the bad things. And he says, if you want to get to him, you have to come through me. You know, that kind of protection type of thing. Now, I'm not saying he'll keep all the bad things from happening to us. I'm not saying that bad things will never happen to us because we've got Jesus standing as our protector. But that imagery of knowing that if he got past Jesus, Jesus allowed him to come back, those bad things to happen because Jesus allowed them to happen. It's only through Jesus' permission that we get the bad things happening in our lives. It's only through God's command. It's kind of like Job, where God says, okay, Satan, you can only do so much to Job at this time. You cannot do more than that. And so Satan is limited to what he can do to Job at certain times. And so I think of God as our protector, and yet when the bad things do happen, when the bad things do come into my life, into the life of the sheep, it's only because Jesus allows it for some reason, for our good, for our protection, for our growth in some way. I know that God will help me in it in those times of struggle. Because God knows I can handle it with his help. That maybe I can learn something or grow some way or be molded or corrected or allowed to be more into him, like him in his image. You see, we are his sheep and he's there to protect us through thick and through thin. And through things that we don't even know about. Have you guys read the Daily Bread this morning? Did anyone read the Daily Bread this morning already? I'm going to spoil it for you if you did already, because I just read this morning. I thought, you know, even though my sermon was typed up, I just put it in there. I want to read it to you this morning here. And so if you didn't read it at home, you can still read it at home, but this is what you'll read. It talks about protection. In a poem titled, This Child is Beloved, Omawami Afue, and that's how you pronounce it because I looked it up. Omawami Afue, known affectionately as Pastor O, writes about his parents' attempt to end the pregnancy that would have resulted in his own birth. After several unusual events that prevented them from aborting him, they decided to welcome their child instead. The knowledge of God's perseverance in his life motivated Omawami to give up a lucrative career in favor of a full-time ministry, and today he's a faithful pastor in London. Like Pastor O, the Israelites experienced God's intervention at a vulnerable time in their history. While traveling through the wilderness, they came within the sights of King Balak of Moab. Terrified that their conquest and their vast population, Balak decided to engage a seer named Balaam to place a curse on the unsuspecting travelers. But something amazing happened. Whenever Balaam opened his mouth to issue a curse, a blessing issued instead. I have a command to bless, he said. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. No misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Israel. The Lord, their God, is with them, the God that brought them out of Egypt. You see, God preserved the Israelites from a battle they didn't even know was coming or that they were raging. So it concludes, whether we see it or not, God watches over his people today. We may worship in gratitude and awe of the one who is called blessed. Because how often do you stop and consider that daily protection from God, from the unseen things that he's protected us from? And so, let's talk about that unprotected, that God protects us even when we don't know it. Just like he did with the children of Israel back then. So let's rely upon that protection that Jesus gives us as his gate. That protection in our lives. But there's a second way that God is the gate in our life, and that is for our provision. Verse 8 says, I am the gate. Whoever comes through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And this is the provision that we'll see in this section. Because we talk about this much more than the I am. We'll talk about this much more in the I am statements, that I am the way, the truth, and life, that he is the provision. And when we come to him for that provision. But here, Jesus starts to claim that he's the only entrance to God, that he provides the entrance to God. He's the way to God, to salvation. Like I said, we'll talk about this a little bit more when we talk about the way, the truth, and the life, how he's the only way to God. He's the only way into the sheep pen. There's only one way to receive salvation. But as a gate, he does not just keep the bad things out, but he provides for us on the inside. He keeps the good stuff inside. When we trust that gate, we know that we are in a sheep pen, and we are saved. That we're provided a place and cared for. And as mentioned in the previous verses, we know that we have the shepherd because we know his voice. We know he's our shepherd. We know him so well that the shepherd, and the shepherd knows us so well that we know his voice. We know whose we are and whose we are to follow. And this leads us in, he leads us into green pastures and still waters, and this imagery of Psalm 23 over and over again. We have the shepherd that loves us and will not take advantage of us like the Pharisees did to this poor man who lacks his sight. And we'll talk about this a lot more next week when we talk about the I am statement that follows this right away is I am the good shepherd. And we'll talk about how Jesus is our shepherd as well. But in this statement, I am the gate, is kind of, I have a combination of the shepherd and the way, the truth, and the life, how it's kind of a combination of the two. So I'm going to try not to repeat myself in those next sermons here that I'm going to be preaching about the shepherd and with the I am the way. It's kind of hard with these I am statements sometimes. But I liked what one commentary mentioned this last week when we were talking about the sheep and this kind of this provision that God gives for us. He says, and this is Rodney Whitaker, he says, Jesus' sheep had the freedom to live their lives in his presence. Both their going out and coming in is through him. And this fulfills the prayer of Moses in Numbers 27:15-17, where Moses prays, May the Lord, the God of the spirits of mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and to come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so God's people will be like a sheep without, will not be like sheep without a shepherd. He's praying this for Joshua, you know. He's praying, hey, may God give us a good leader like Joshua who will help these people along, this community, go in and go out and bring them in and be like a shepherd to them, a good shepherd. But you know what? Joshua's name in Greek is Jesus. And so this is kind of a foreshadowing of Jesus in this time, that Jesus is going to do the same thing. He's going to be with these communities just as it says there. He's going to come in and out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow his voice. They will never follow a stranger. They will run away from him. You see, this is talking about that God is going to be there for us. Jesus is going to walk with us. He's going to talk with us. He's going to tell us, I am his own, just like the song says, and the joy we share as we tarry there with none others has never known. He's going to be with us. In fact, one person I read this last week compares Jesus in this gate imagery and providing for us like a seeing eye dog. Now, a seeing eye dog doesn't give guidance, it guides. It doesn't give guidance by saying, hey, if the seeing eye dog could talk, it doesn't say things like, oh, careful now, look out for that curb over there, or watch out where you're going, there's a hole. The seeing eye dog doesn't do that. It uses its presence to guide. It escorts its companion every step of the way, being their own eyes and steering them safely along precarious pathways. You know, that's how Jesus is, providing for us, walking along the way with us. He walks alongside us. He walks ahead of us, letting us to follow him. He doesn't drive us like cattle. He walks with us like sheep. And like I said, one more thing about this gate being our provision is that it keeps us from wandering off. It keeps us, the sheep, contained in an area where the shepherd can care for them. It kind of reminds me of the verse from Come Thou Fount. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know, we as sheep kind of wander off sometimes. And Jesus is there to keep us safe from wandering. He guides us on the way home. He provides for us in many ways. He keeps us safe with his presence. He goes with us and lives with us. He guides us along life's paths, not only keeping the bad things from harming us, but giving us the good things in life, guiding us all the way safely home. Providing us safely home. This last week has been busy with Caleb being sick and all, and I did not get to this point until last night. I was writing my sermon a little last night, and last night when I got to this point, this is when I received a phone call about Elmer. And I thought, what a better illustration about being guided home than this. And so I added him in there that God provides for that. That's his provision for us, this wonderful place in heaven. That he is the way to heaven. And Elmer knew that, and he is safely home. So we all have all this protection, we have all this presence and provision for us, but we also have a third thing that this gate gives us, and that is for our peace. Jesus is the gate for our peace. The final verse of this passage is one that I've quoted many times, time and time again. But I didn't realize that it was in this context. And as I studied it this last week, and as I learned more about this verse, I thought this context makes it expand even more, because this is what Jesus says in the last two verses of this passage. He says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters in me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. That's what I just talked about. The thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But here's the verse. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have you heard that verse before? I have come that they might have life and have it, as the King James Version says, have it abundantly. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And as I think about what I've learned so far about this gate, that he protects us, he provides for us, that this life to the full is just something else that's added to us. It's a time of peace. This full life is a way of giving us a life of peace, of that. And that word peace in Hebrew is shalom, and that idea of shalom is not just free from conflict or free from war. That idea of shalom, that peace that God gives us, is a wholeness, a wellness in our entire soul. He has come that we might have full life, a full and healthy and wonderful life. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that is a contentment, like the beggar that we read about in Abraham's bosom. It's like arms wrapped around us in an all-embracing hug. This is the God who comforts us. This is the God who gives us peace, who gives us life and life to the full. And that's the life that Jesus gives us. It's not a prosperity kind of life. You know, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Having life to the full does not mean that we'll have all the luxuries in life, all the good things. Having life to the full does not mean that we'll have the easy life, no difficulties, no troubles. But it is a life that is guarded and protected by our shepherd. A life of salvation from our sins. A life of hope and a future. A life that is filled with the presence of God. A life that is overflowing with spiritual blessings. A life that is looking forward to the heavenly home that God has for us. That is full and satisfying. Now I know I got a lot of my illustrations here from the Daily Bread this last week. The commentaries really started to talk about the shepherd, and kind of this, they kind of overshadowed this idea of the gate. but went right on to the shepherd, because again, they're very interconnected and they're in the same chapter, right, one after the other. But the daily bread kind of brought it home for me this last week with several different passages here. But this is one story I got from the daily bread this last week. It says, I never thought of Jesus coming to give me an abundant life. Like many who had never read the first century accounts of him, I imagined that he came to make sure I kept a bunch of rules or stayed out of trouble. Or possibly he came to make sure I went to church regularly and that I spent most of my time praying and reading the Bible, all of which sounded completely boring and opposite of the life that I wanted. Imagine my surprise then when I learned that Jesus did not come just to make me a religious fanatic, but rather to give me a full and satisfying life. He promised to give me everything I truly wanted, and that caught me off guard, it says here. I'm not suggesting, he continues, that Jesus does not care about how we live. His analogy of the gate and the shepherd and the sheep make that abundantly clear. Jesus' sheep are identified by two characteristics. One, they realize that a full life, both now and eternally, can be found only in Jesus. And two, that a sheep know his voice and follow him. Following Jesus involves not only believing in him, but following his teachings, especially those related to how to love God and loving others. But these commands aren't intended to enslave us, but rather to liberate us by transforming us into loving, relational people that God intended us to be. And as we will see in the next section, the Good Shepherd truly cares for his sheep. And so this idea that God gives us this abundant life that we were not really expecting, a life that is following this shepherd that loves and cares for us so deeply, who protects us, who provides for us, is what Jesus is talking about. And why does Jesus want to give us this full and satisfying life? Because he's our shepherd who knows us and loves us. Read again what it says there in verse 3 of chapter 10. A watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep out by name and leads them out. You see, this shepherd knows us. He knows us so well, he knows us by name. We're not just some person, some number in the Rolodex of God's immense files up in heaven. He does not say, oh, by the way, you in the suit back there, yeah, you, what's your, no, he doesn't ask us our name. He knows our name. He knows us. He says he knows the names of his sheep. And if you're one of this flock, he knows your name as well. Several years ago, Tommy Walker came out with a song, He Knows Your Name. And I was going to put the lyrics up on the screen there, but I couldn't download it. I couldn't download the tune late last night. But I love the song. The lyrics go, I have a maker. He formed my heart. Even before time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. And it talks about how God knows us so well. He's like a father to his child. He knows us. He knows where he hurts. He knows when things are going bad in our lives. He knows when we mourn for those who passed on. But he wants to give us life, and life to the full. And that's the peace that we can't have from Jesus as the gate, because he knows us so well. And so what can I say about the statement that I am the gate? Well, he's the gate in three ways. He's the gate for our protection. He's the gate for our provision, and the gate for our peace, because no harm comes through him. No harm comes into our lives that he doesn't allow. He provides for us by giving us the good stuff, providing the good things to walk in with him, including one day heaven. And Jesus is our peace because we've been blessed with a full life, both here on earth and in heaven as we dwell with him. That this life is the life of a true Christian, one that is joyful in following our shepherd as his sheep. So do you know about this gate? Are you trusting in this gate? Ironically, this is the same word that's used in Revelation 3 in the Old Testament, in the end of the Bible there. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the gate," or the door, "and knock." Same word in the Hebrew, in the Greek. I'm there for you. I want you to open the door just as I'm opening the door for you into heaven. I want you to open your heart's door for me. Then I will come in and eat with him, and he will eat with me. So do we know that Savior? Do we know that kind of a Savior, that person of the gate? And again, as I was finishing my sermon last night, God provides these things, all kinds of things. He showed me this. I had this on one of my websites there. And it's a benediction from Ephesians chapter 3. And it's a benediction to him who's able to keep you from falling. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. To the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. I love that. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. That's what this verse talks about. To the full. This is the zoomenda, or whatever you pronounce. This is the fullness of the Chinese New Year. God wants to give us more than what we can give to each other on earth. He wants to give us immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. That's the benefit we have in Christ. That's what this gate's all about. It's not about keeping things out that we don't like, or keeping things out because we're a parent has control over their children's video games. No, God says, hey, I want you guys to have fun and have life to the full. Have this protection, this presence, and this provision and this peace for you. That's what the gate's all about. That's what I think the gate image sums up, is that he can give you what we can't ask or imagine because of God's power working in and through us.